What is that?
I don't know. It's a little air horn or something.
Oh. Air horn at the top of the pod is crazy.
Hey, man, we got to get them. We got to get them started. We got to get them hooked.
Could you imagine waking up and you're just like chilled out morning? Yeah, I can't wait to listen to Real Heads podcast, you know, like on my morning commute. Like,
yeah, man.
No.
Yeah.
You can't do that to them.
Anywho, welcome to the Real Heads podcast. Hey. We got some music, generic music, added the in post.
Okay. Heard. Got it.
Anyways, welcome to Real Heads.
Yes.
We're coming at you. We're putting the real film in our real heads.
Yeah.
And we're trying to reel in the heads to listen and us talk about film.
And our heads are real.
And our heads are
real. It's a triple entendre. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
So we got a movie we watched on Sunday. We went pretty early morning. I don't think they were even open yet.
Matinee.
Yeah, very matinee film. It was a little indie film, you know, not super big. You know, no. It was Alien Romulus.
Yeah, Alien Romulus.
Yeah. It was a movie.
All right, it was a movie.
See you later.
Yeah, no. That was it. Thank you guys. Have a good week. We'll see you next time.
But no, we got Alien Romulus coming up, and this is a pretty, it's a legacy, horror science fiction film, from some pretty big directors who have been in the game for a very long time, starting off with the Ridley Scott and moving on forward from there. So yeah, do you know anything about this film franchise? Have you ever experienced this film franchise first?
So I know that this movie kind of fits in between Alien and Aliens 2.
Yes.
Which for some reason they decided to not call it Aliens 2. They called it Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Which, fair enough. Yeah. I think they should have added two S's at the end. Mm. It's like Aliens.
Maybe a Z.
Maybe even a Z. Yeah. Aliens. That could have been cool,
yeah.
But you know, I digress. Yeah, so we got Aliens Romulus 1S. I've only seen Covenant and Prometheus, so going in, I've got like maybe a slightly different view than some other fans of the franchise who have seen them all. So we'll definitely get into that. But yeah, man, it was a cool movie. I enjoyed it. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, kind of like a little bit of the backstory of the production of this film.
Sure, go
ahead. Not too deep into it, but just kind of like just want to touch on the fact that, you know, this movie got greenlit after Disney acquired Fox, right? Because, you know, you see it's a Fox title.
Yes.
So
20th Century now.
Yeah. And if you remember how long ago that was, that when Disney acquired Fox, it had to have been... That wasn't recent. It's been some years. That was
around the 2020. So it's been about 4 years.
Has it been 4 years?
About. Maybe towards the end of 2019. So maybe about 5-ish.
Interesting. I don't know why I thought that maybe it was earlier than that. But yeah, I think you're right, actually. Because, yeah, you might be right. But I don't know. I liked how this movie had a lot of really good practical effects.
Yeah.
They really went to town. Stan Winston School... did the effects for this one, which was sick. I love anything that the Stan Winston company does. Obviously, like, credited with original Aliens, Jurassic Parks, and many other, like Jaws, like just high prolific, super reputable, you know, people, and like just doing the damn thing. So the practical effects were really, really sick here. I want to talk a little bit about the director being Fede Alvarez.
Go ahead.
And did you know he's the director from Evil Dead?
The newest one.
The newest one.
Mm-hmm. Not the newest one.
No.
Because there's
the Evil Dead film. 2013 remake. Yeah. I want to say it's 2013. Where she cuts her tongue. Sick. And I loved when I kind of made that connection, went, oh, that's what he's from, because I love that movie. You know, I've never seen the original Evil Dead.
I haven't either.
But I've seen the remake.
I have not.
And I've also seen the new one.
I've seen that.
And I like them both. But I really like the remake, I thought it was just like, just punchy and bloody, and like the practical effects, I was like, oh, I like this. I like this. And he also did Don't Breathe.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either.
You've never seen Don't Breathe? Wow. That movie would give you anxiety.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But knowing that he did Don't Breathe and Evil Dead, that gives you a really good insight on what to expect from an alien film made by him. And I think that perfect hiring choice, perfect director for an alien film in my eyes. Mm. You know, I think he nails the tone. He nails the atmosphere, practical effects on point. Like, and it's evident in his past work, and it's proven here, you know. He also collaborated on this project with Roto Saigase. Hopefully I'm saying that right. I apologize if I am not. They both worked together on previous films as well, and also worked together on this one. So we love to see that too. You love to see two creatives who frequently get to work together, because, you know, obviously if you've got two hands in the pot and you guys have done this in the past, it's not going to come out like a mishmash project, you know. Yeah. Like, you guys are, you've clearly shown that you've been able to work together in the past, and you're doing it again now, and that's what you're, you know, what's going to be a great product, or showcase a great product moving forward. And that's what we got, I felt like, you know. So obviously Fede has a good background in horror, suspense, gore, atmospheric horror, and those elements, would you say, were implemented pretty well into Aliens Romulus?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely got back, because I've seen the original. That's the only one I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even then, like, that one is a science fiction horror film, but I feel like this...
Like the original Aliens you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. But with this one, I feel like this was more horror than it was. Like, it's still science fiction,
obviously. Right, right.
But I felt like this was a traditional horror film to an extent.
More than
the other one was like, oh crap, bad things are happening.
Mm.
You know, like, we got to get our stuff together, and like, there's a scary monster after this. This one is like similar things, but it like dives deeper into the scary aspect of these like spider-like alien creatures are chasing after you.
Yeah, which is fun. You know, I like that. I like that he was able to dial in on the horror and dial it up a bit, you know, because like, people always talk about the xenomorphs and like the alien franchise being a part of horror, a big part of horror. But I mean, I haven't seen the first Aliens, but even like you said, like, it's never really been that scary. And even when I watched Covenant and Prometheus, they're not that scary. They're not really scary at all, really. It's more so on the sci-fi and like horror elements. But yeah, this one definitely, I think you hit the nail on the head, dialed in on the horror. So yeah, from here, I guess let's break into the cast. So we got some interesting players here. So you've got Kaylee Spaney, who plays the titular character Rain. She is known for her role in the recent Civil War movie. She also played Priscilla.
Oh, yes.
And yeah. Priscilla. She also was acting opposite John Boyega in Pacific Rim Uprising. Then you had David Johnson as Andy, her lovable cyborg, who has really not been in a lot of movies, but he was in a popular TV show, The Industry, or Industry, and Deep State.
He was in Rye Lane.
What's that?
It's a Hulu film that came out a couple, maybe last year.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it's decent. It's a rom-com type of situation.
Interesting. So you got Archie Renaud, who played Tyler, and he is known for Shadow and Bone. He was a character in that, and also a character in Morbius.
Oh.
Bear with me here, because we're gonna make some connections, okay? I got you. Hold on. Isabella Merced plays Kay, and she was Dora. And Dora in The Lost City of Gold.
Oh, really?
And she also...
Wow, I did not...
I know. Crazy, right? She also was in Transformers The Last Night. Madam Web.
Oh.
And yeah. So there's that. Then you had Spike Fearn as Bjorn, and he was in Aftersun and also His Dark Materials.
Yeah.
And then you also had Eileen Wu as Navarro, who doesn't have a lot of acting credits per se in the terms of Hollywood films, but has been in a lot of shorts. And I think also maybe some Broadway. I think some Broadway as well. So how did you feel overall about that cast?
It was a solid cast. You know, like, they're obviously very so young. I didn't realize that Andy was from Rye Lane. Mm-hmm. Because I have seen it, but after I noticed who he was, I was like, "Oh yeah, that's the main love interest from that film." Good film, but anyways, he's a favorite.
Yeah,
he
stole the show.
My opinion, the best actor in the entire movie.
Yeah, he stole the show.
They were all really great, though. I don't want to get that like, oh, they were all terrible except him. But that's not the case whatsoever.
No.
I don't know. There's just something about it, just his acting, the writing for that character, and just every scene he was in. I was like, I am with this man, even though he's somewhat, well, I won't, that's kind of spoiler territory. I won't get into that at that moment, but I was with him the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like,
man. He did good. He did good. Everyone did great, but standout performances I would love to point out is definitely David Johnson as Andy, Kaylee Spaney as Rain. She did phenomenal. Yeah, I would say also Archie did pretty good as Tyler. I mean, everyone honestly did. Even Eileen, who didn't have a lot of screen time, like for the screen time that she did have, like I felt like she played that role pretty solid. Like this is, if you want to tag on, because we know we talk about this a lot in other episodes of podcasts and just in our movie talks in general, movies that want to take from the Guardians, like, you know, kind of ragtag group and whatnot. Like, this movie does that.
They are.
And it does it well. But that's what we were talking about in the other episode, though, Ian, is just that, like, it's not even like we're saying, like, the Guardians thing, and like obviously we do give a lot of homage and a lot of praise to James Gunn and everyone who worked on those films for what they did. They were very amazing films, but like, you know, it's really just a trope of ragtag team, right? So, you know, here it is again, ragtag team of people, and we talked about in our Borderlands review and how that was done so wrong, and here it's done so right. And we also talked about in that review how in a horror film, you get a ragtag group often, you know, people from different walks of life, maybe even somehow similar, but still they have their own unique backgrounds and stories, their own motivations. Mm-hmm. And you can pinpoint every person's individual motivation in that film and how it regards to what the mission is, what the goal is, and how the plot takes all of those and drives the narrative forward, made for a great movie.
Yeah.
As when we talked about Borderlands, it didn't do any of that, you know, not to jump back to that, but we'll get back into it here. So I want to talk a little bit about how did you feel about fan expectations of the film going in? What was your expectation going in? How do you feel the film balanced nostalgia with innovation in terms of fan expectation?
Yeah, like I said, I don't like have that high of expectations. I've only seen the first one because I do like to go back and watch films that are considered classics, you know. So I saw that. I really loved it. It's really great. I suggest anybody to go see it. I haven't seen anything else prior to seeing that, and I haven't really watched anything else after that. But I intend to. I think that with this film going in, I was just expecting that maybe, like, I'm sorry, I paused so long. My thoughts were
good.
Trying to figure out how to come out. I was expecting, if this film piques my interest more, I'm going to dive deeper in as sooner rather than later. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oops. That was my expectation. Sorry, my headphone. So I was like, if this movie's not super great, I'll probably just like, well, when I catch them, I'll catch them. If it was good, then I'd be like, okay, well, I want to dive deeper.
So. So you would say you were looking for something to pique your interest, something may like it didn't have to necessarily be new or old because you don't really have that base knowledge of what that would look like. You just wanted something that felt good to you.
Yes. And not that the first film from the 70s is didn't feel good to me.
No, but that's the thing though. I feel like a lot of people when we have these kinds of conversations, they don't want to hold up a film on its own merit. They want to always compare. And obviously that's the name of the game. That's how you usually review things. Like you gotta compare it to something. Mm-hmm. You know? So but at the same time, like we do gotta hold this film up on its own merit and see if it holds up on its own merit. So I think, you know, you can say I want to see if it's good, not necessarily if it's good, meaning that Alien is not, just is this good?
Yeah.
So would you say you felt like it was?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a big, well, I love science fiction. Mm-hmm. You know, I love just a good, just weird science fiction. Like 2001 is one of my favorite science fiction films, it's kind of horror maybe, like,
yeah,
kind of, but it's more so of a space sci-fi adventure thing.
Yeah.
So I want I when I watch sci-fi, I want to be drilled in into that universe that this is what life is like for humans now. You know, 100%.
I agree with that 100%.
So when we watch Dune or we watch Star Wars or whatever other science fiction film, to that extent, like that either far in the future or like close future.
Right.
I want to be like, okay, this is what it's like for these people now. Mm-hmm. And how are they interacting with this world?
Mm-hmm.
How is the atmosphere of the universe shaped?
Right.
And this movie, I think, ticks all those, with the, like, you know, the very first film, it's just they're on the ship. That's mm-hmm. it. They don't go to a planet. They don't go, or they don't start on a planet, whatever. It's just they are on the ship.
Yeah.
We know they're working for a company.
Right.
I think they're expecting, like, inspecting an old ship that it's kind of like linked to old alien life, or ancient life in the universe. And that's kind of it. Like, that's all we kind of know. You know, I mean, obviously we get introduced to the aliens, the xenomorphs and the spider things, which are xenomorphs, I think, still. But
yeah,
I don't know if they have a separate name. But this one, I was I loved the everything about, like, their universe that they were just expanding upon. And it just, when I'm going to go back and watch, because now I'm going to tend to watch it in storyline order and not necessarily when it's released.
Right.
When I go back and watch, it's going to make me, I'm going to feel more appreciative of this universe of, like, okay, well, I got this small snippet of whatever this was happening over here.
Right.
Now I got to go back and, like, experience it in the past, in that life, if that makes sense.
Right. No, I get that. And I'm glad that this film has lit that fire under you. It did the same for me. I mean, I had already planned on doing it anyway, so I just curiosity. But now I'm more jazzed about it than I was before. Definitely more jazzed about it to go back and see the other films. So I want to get into the title, right?
Mm-hmm.
Romulus. It carries a significant symbolic meaning. It's big, okay? So Romulus is a figure from Roman mythology, known as one of twin brothers, along with Remus, who founded Rome. So according to legend, Romulus became the first king of Rome after a series of conflicts, including the fratricidal killing of his brother Remus.
Hmm.
So it's a story of rivalry, survival, and the creation of an empire.
Hmm.
Think about that in regards to the movie Alien Romulus, right? So we'll talk about a little bit like that significance. So we got themes of survival and leadership. Yeah. How do you feel the film tackles that theme?
Very well.
And I would say we can let's ease our way into spoiler territory at this point if need be, because I feel like that'll just better serve the, you know, kind of like the engine, if you will. So if you guys don't want to get spoilers, go see the film. Go see it. It's great. Go see it. Okay. Spoiler time. Potentially. We're just going to say now.
Spoilers. Yeah.
So talk to me. How do you feel? How do you feel this film does in terms of the theme of survival and leadership?
It does really well. I know that Romulus and Remus has some type of historical background. You know, I mean, even Prometheus, like, you know, they obviously are coming off the backs of that Roman type of like vibe.
Mm-hmm.
If you know who the first original director was, being Ridley Scott, like, I mean, he directed Gladiator and like some more historical epics. Right. So it makes sense. In the sense of leadership and survival, I think that's kind of interesting, like, because Remus is the other part of the ship, you know, and Remus is kind of like dead to an extent, and like everybody enters into like the ship in Romulus, you know what I mean? So we get these new people who are going to be taking over the reins of what to do next, you know, into this. And they do end up in Remus, on that side of the ship, where Old Guard, the android that was kind of dead, but not, you know, dead, he's an android.
Right.
Kind of tries to take back over leadership to an extent, with Andy being kind of, you know, watch the movie, like, they have to like break some people out to like save them, to get them out of where they got stuck in, and like to do so they have to put a computer chip into Andy's brain that is connected to the larger older guard, if that makes sense. So in the sense of like leadership, in that sense of like, Andy does have a very like hard-nosed ground, like, I'm the leader to an extent, but you know, with Rain, these are two friends, like they're brother and sister.
Yeah.
So it's like,
well, it's interesting because I feel like you have that leadership and survival happening in tandem from different perspectives throughout the film, like you're saying. Like you got it with Andy. He was trying to be a leader, and but also trying to survive, but survive what and for who? Same thing with Rain. Same thing with, I'm forgetting his name now, let me scroll up for a sec. Same thing with Tyler. Same thing with Kate. Like it went for every character, pretty much. Every character at some point was making decisions or trying to lead and trying to survive. So I felt like that, like, yeah, I agree with you. I feel like that theme hit heavy in this film. The other one that I want to touch on too was duality and conflict, right? So the story of Remus and Romulus obviously involves a fraternal conflict. And there was a lot of fraternal conflict in the film, right?
Yeah.
And not just fraternal, but also just conflict in general. Like, you obviously had the conflict between Andy and Rain. You know, you had the conflict between Andy and the mean kid, the one that was being, you know, had his own thing with androids. You had that conflict. Then you had, obviously, the conflict between all the protagonists and all the aliens, you know, and it was just like how those all balanced each other out and all intertwined with each other, like, just made for a lot of interesting duality, I would say, you know. It's just like it felt like each character had like a string connected to a different character, you know, and they all kind of intertwined in a way, and like some people had certain relationships with one character that they didn't have with another character. It wasn't like, not everyone was just on even ground with each other. And I feel like that made for a very interesting cast and a very interesting plot device, because now you can really play with that. You know, when scenarios happen, Andy might be thinking, well, why would I want to save you? Like, you've treated me like crap. Whereas Rain might be thinking, this is a human. This is someone who's like, he's one of us. Like, he might, you know, I'm in this moment, maybe I'm forgetting that you're also an android, so you're not really one of us, but you and I also have a connection that feels fraternal, that feels, you know, maybe not fraternal, but that's not the right word, but it feels like family.
Yeah.
And but that, you know, that gets those lines get muddied, you know, they get blurred. So it's very interesting, that duality and that conflict between, you know, everyone's relationships. Yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about it?
It just, you know, I wasn't like, when they were trying to play up the brother and sister aspect of Andy and Rain, I really wasn't like fully understanding to an extent at first. Not necessarily like, they're, you know, one's an android and one's like a human. So it's like, I like, how can an android, how can an AI have that type of kinship with a human is what my mind is thinking, you know?
Well, that was the thing. It was just purely coding.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, and that was, I felt like added kind of like a bit of layer of more feeling to it, even though it's like ironic, because you can tell in different scenes like that where she might be upset, where she might be realizing or like trying to process in the moment, like, this android isn't really real, but are like, my feelings towards it are real, you know? And it's like, sometimes she almost has to remind herself that. And you know, cause it's like, it is an android, it's sense. An AI. So it's like, some people might think, well, this is just nuts and bolts. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have a mind of its own, but like, we've all seen Terminator.
Yeah.
You know, like it does, but it's a different kind of mind. You know, so like, I get where you're coming from, but I think that's why this movie was so interesting, is because like, it really got you to kind of like look at their relationship from different perspectives, because you're seeing it from different people and how different people are viewing it, and you're also seeing it from the source and seeing how those two view their relationship. And I don't want to speak for you, but I know for me, at the end of the day, walking away from that film, I felt like, yeah, I feel like they do truly think of each other as siblings.
I agree, and
the relationship felt believable.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So the last thing I'll say about the title. So we've got also themes of empire and expansion. So obviously Romulus was credited with founding Rome. And then you had obviously the human drive to colonize space in the Alien franchise, right? So in this film, we had the Rook android guy from the old movie, and this one who is trying to get them to take this goo that they've derived from the face huggers, and they're like, this is, it's like the secret mission that he puts Andy on. He's like, you got to get this to the other colony of like humans, right?
Yeah.
So we find out later in the movie that it's not really a good thing. This is how we create the perfect human. This is how we create those weird looking bald headed men.
Yes.
Yeah. So we gotta use their blood, and that's how we'll create like this little goopy stuff. So yeah, again, it's that expansion. He's trying to, for some reason, the AI, and I'm pretty sure it's probably just cause that's what it was coded to do. It was coded to do this mission. So it's trying to expand this race.
What's good for the company.
Yeah. What's good for the company.
What's good for the company is
what's good for the company. What's good for us.
Be expanding.
Yeah.
You know,
and Waylon.
Yeah.
So yeah, so there was that. How do you feel like this film would influence future Alien films?
I think it's going to dive more into the lore, and if they continue with this director, then it will probably dive more into horror. And if you really like, you see Dune, like Dune's very like strange, out there, to an extent, sci-fi. So
it asks you to believe in a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think the next,
as it should.
Yeah. I think the next logical thing is to, I don't know if we should see where these characters end up, but maybe
you don't, you wouldn't want to see a direct sequel.
I would love to see a direct sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I just am trying to think of how can we get to the future for this franchise by just continuously going to the past, because there is, you know, this one is set between two films.
Yeah.
It's a legacy sequel to an extent. It's a prequel to an extent. You know, this, these characters, like, we are super in the far future with the last Alien film,
right,
to my knowledge.
Right.
So how do these, like, where do they end up? Where they, like, is their stories more important in the future? You know, even though we're just now finding out about these characters, you know. And then FX is making a prequel series called Alien Earth that is coming out either this year or the following year.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and it's about it's set before Prometheus.
Yeah.
So, you know, what, you know, do we keep on just making these in the past, or do we?
I do really want to unpack this, because this is a bigger kind of topic that I really wanted to hit on in this episode specifically, because I feel like I have a lot to say about it. And it kind of leads into the next point as well. So we're going to kind of combine these two points, talking about, you know, the future of the franchise, as well as I wanted to also talk about some of the reviews and critical receptions of the film, mainly in regards to fans of the franchise. Right. So I have this issue with when franchises do stuff like what's going on with the Alien franchise, because what's going on with the Alien franchise is no different than what's also going on with Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Right. So let's talk about Star Wars for a quick second. Star Wars, you have a love it or hate it, great first trilogy, 4, 5, 6, George Lucas. People love it. People are like, yeah, this is great. It's great things since sliced bread. We love it. We want more sci-fi. Okay. We'll give you 1, 2, 3. We go back. We give you the prequels to show you how we got there. Love it or hate it, I think they're great too. They're cool movies.
Yeah, they're good.
Yep. Then we go, well, we got this multi-billion-dollar company. What do? Well, there's all this source material here. We got all these books. We got all these books over here. I mean, jump in. No, I don't want to do that. Well, what do you want to do? Well, I want another trilogy that's going to talk more about those old characters from over there, from back there, from those 6 movies. We need to get people to come see, because we want them to think that we're going with those characters still. Okay, I mean, they're kind of old, but yeah, we're doing that, right? So we do that. Love them or hate them, they're okay. Not all of them are. I would argue that 7, 8, 9 are worse than
the prequels.
Than 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then you could see the writing was kind of on the wall at this point. You had too many cooks in the kitchen, too many people with their own ideas, and not a person at the head that could say, that not even just could say, but could have the proper future thought for the franchise, not just for a film, not just for a run of films, but for the franchise. Where are we going with this? Because like you were saying with Alien, you're wondering, well, how are we going to move forward if we do keep going back? You know, I'm gonna bring it back. Just bear with me. So you don't get that with Star Wars. What do we do after 7, 8, 9? Well, we get 2 more movies going back, right? You get Han Solo. Yeah, it's okay. You get Rogue One. People love Rogue One. It's great.
Yeah.
But people argue, well, what about those other characters? What are they doing? What do we, you know, they want more lore. They want to see ultimately this franchise move forward, right? Okay, so we got Disney Plus. Well, we'll get you The Mandalorian. Eh. We'll get you Boba Fett. It's the older guy. What about new? Okay, well, we got it. We got you. We got what was the fighter jet one with the one that came out before the newest one? I'm forgetting the name of that one now. People like that one. They had Andy Serkis.
Oh, Andor.
Andor. Yep. We got your fighter jet dudes going on the secret missions. It's got a really great scene with Andy Serkis in it. Fans are still like, hey, yeah, it's okay, but like, you know, it's like you can't win, right?
Yeah.
You get to the point where you can't win, because now we even got the series where they go, Acolyte.
Yeah, that's done too, by the way.
Yeah, it's I know, canceled. Got canceled. And you know why? Because they don't know what they want to do. They don't have a cohesive vision for not just a movie, not just a show, not just a run of shows, but the franchise. What do you want this billion-dollar IP to be? Do you want it to be Jurassic Park, where it's just people going to the park in different time periods of life? Is that what you want? Because you can do that. That's what they're doing. Is it fantastic? Nah, no. But at least they know what they're doing with the franchise. You know what you're getting in every single Jurassic Park movie. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. So take it to Alien. I've seen Covenant. I've seen Prometheus. And now I've seen Romulus. I like Romulus more than both of those. And I think it's because I think that movie hits the atmosphere of what I feel like could be a really good sci-fi horror franchise on the head. But what I see the problem is that a lot of the people who are fans of the entire franchise are in the reviews. They are saying that they feel like this has no innovation. It didn't push the needle forward. It feels like a legacy film. It feels like a Rogue One. I've seen that criticism thrown around. Everyone's just said they gave it a 3 out of 5. It feels like, you know, a greatest hits of Alien franchise. Well, I question and I want to know, what do you want as an Alien fan for the franchise? Not a movie, not a TV show, not a run of TV shows, not a run of movie. For the franchise, what do you want this franchise to be? Because if I was the head, if I was the one, I'd say no more. And this is another franchise we could have dove into, but for time's sake, I won't do it. X-Men. No more X-Men type movies where like you've got a cool IP, but you've got so many movies that jump here, there, and there. No one can follow. You know?
Yeah.
It's getting to that point with Star Wars. We can't follow. It's all over the place. I don't know what I'm getting. I don't know what to walk into when I see the Star Wars. I don't know what I'm walking into when I'm getting Alien, because Covenant and Prometheus doesn't really play like Romulus. People might say Romulus might play a little bit more like Alien, but even you said Alien just starts you off on the ship and you're just there. And I'm sure Alien is a fantastic movie. I know it's a fantastic movie. But do we want a franchise that is focused on just making every movie is going to be some way to one up the original in terms of what? What is it about the original that we love so much? Well, we love Ripley, right? We want to see more badass female characters. We get that. We got that with Kayleen. I'm saying her name right. Let's see.
With Rain.
With Kaylee. Yeah, that's her name, right? Yeah, with Rain. Kaylee. Yeah, we got that with her. She's great. She's got cool suits and everything. She's great. Well, we want atmospheric core. We got that. We got that here. We got that. It's great. So did you see some of those scenes? The lighting, the sound design. Shout out to the sound design team and the editing team. My God, you guys did phenomenal. You know? Okay, well, we like the lore. We like, from what I understand, I haven't seen the movie, but from what I understand, there wasn't really a ton of lore in Alien. But people liked the vibe. They liked the idea of the mystery of not knowing really why are these things here. Why are they here? And like, I don't know if they explore that more in Aliens. And if they do, then cool. But like, where does the franchise go from there? Do you like, how do you keep you can't keep making films that are supposed to chase after 1 and 2. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you can't like if you're always making your sequels trying to be the better version of Alien and Aliens, it's never going to be. Those movies were those movies and they were good for the things that they were good at, but like, what's the next step in terms of the story? Like, does it, because like, I feel like at a certain point, you know, it can't get any bigger. There's aliens that eat people and kill people and they breed them to make more. What more? What more do you want?
They're a hive mind to an extent, to my understanding. So they're like a queen. I know there's a queen.
And I think in the Alien versus Predator movie, there was a alien queen in that. So like, okay, cool. Like, and you can do stuff like that. But like, I see a lot of these fans that are really like, they're craving, just like the fans in Star Wars, like they're craving something that I don't think is obtainable. I just truly think that if you sit back, like what, like if you think that there is this grand alien movie that hasn't been made yet, that is the end all be all aliens film to top Aliens 1 and 2, by all means, write it, pitch it. Hopefully it gets made. I'd love to see it, but I don't see what's going to come out that's going to top those movies. What is it that we want even like for topping those movies? Cause I just feel like, even without seeing one, without seeing two, that to me, this, what we got here is what I want out of an Aliens franchise. I would just love to see characters who have goals and missions and dreams in this world where like life is a little bleak. Like it's hard out here and we got to go to the extremes to get to where we need to go. And that's just it. And maybe that means we don't get a million alien films. Sometimes you only need one or two.
Yeah, I agree.
And let it be after that. But I get it. It's an IP. It makes money.
Yeah.
People have ideas and they want to try them. I get that. But sometimes I think there really does need to be someone at the head that says, hey, this is where this franchise goes and that's where it stays. We're not, you know, if you really have a great idea for something in here that doesn't fit this vision, tweak it, make it your own IP. Maybe we do that. Because Rogue One could have been a fantastic just space adventure movie that had nothing to do with Star Wars.
Well, have you seen, this side note, have you seen the guy's most recent film, The Creator?
No, I haven't.
It's super similar.
Yeah.
Like, tune it. Not in the sense of like it's a ragtag group of people, but mm-hmm. like, just the atmosphere looking.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like Rogue One.
Yeah.
It's, a lot of people weren't super, in like, they were impressed with the visuals, but they weren't like, the story wasn't really, which I get. Like, I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Do you feel like, to bring it back a little bit, do you feel like how this film is being received by the fans of the franchise, do you feel like it's going to hurt the film success or the legacy of the franchise at all?
I don't know, man.
And I don't want to come across either like I'm just wanting to just cut down all these people's opinions and whatnot. Because obviously, like, I know, like, I haven't seen all of the films in the franchise, but I'm just speaking from like a more broader perspective, you know, just how I see or how I would like to see the franchise go. And I just want to encourage people to think more about that and what you truly want and less about what I'm assuming is, can we make Aliens 1 and 2 again?
My opinion, because I'm a new person who's interested in this franchise.
Okay.
Is that people will show up, I feel like, regardless to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show up and I'm going to enjoy myself with going back and revisiting the old ones and maybe catching the FX show when it comes out or whatever. But ultimately, like, I just feel like these fans, like, not say that the fans aren't important, because they're definitely important.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes there can be an extent to be where, like, it gets too much. Just everything is poo-pooed on, you know? And that it's the same thing with Star Wars. It's right. Like, Mandalorian 1 and Mandalorian 2, Season 2, they're great, you know, in my opinion. They're a really good TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really catch all of three, and that's fine. Do I plan to? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was really wrong, like super wrong with that. I think that it was just kind of like felt like they kept on going back to the old when, like, I was more so invested into the Mandalorian himself and his missions, you know. But I think that, you know, there was a rally cry behind that Mandalorian because that was like, oh, the Mandalorian, Jon Favreau, you know, like, he knows what he's doing. He knows the vision. And now the third one comes out and people are like, ah, it's all right.
Yeah.
You know. So truly, I think that, like, I think, honestly, it's probably going to be similar to Star Wars, where they're going to be just fans who will always be negative about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm interested and I'm going to enjoy myself. And that's, I think, all that matters is just
that's good.
Enjoying it yourself.
Yeah. Not at the end of the day, everyone is free to like or dislike what they want.
Yeah.
You know, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. If you don't, then you don't. And that's okay. I'm with you. I think that I'm going to consume any alien content that comes out. I'm hoping that, you know, it is good content and it's enjoyable content. I'm hoping to see more Fede alien content.
He's good.
Please. My God, please.
I'm interested to see what he does next.
Yes. Yeah. I would. Oh, my gosh. And I need more Andy. Needs my Andy. I love that guy. Such a cool character. But do you have anything else to add before we kind of close this one out?
No, not really. I mean, you say a lot and hit a lot on the head. I think that Alien Romulus was something really good. It was a great show. There's a lot of great horror. There's a lot of great action.
Yeah. I also thought it was kind of interesting, too, because, like, we're talking about, like, our closing thoughts and, like, and obviously we're going to kind of do our little fun ranking of, like, the film and whatnot. And that made me just think back to, you know, some of the reviews that, like, I was reading and how a lot of them were middle of the road. Like 3 out of 5 stars, but they never said anything necessarily negative outside of it. Would always be like 3 out of 5 stars, really great film, love the film, blah blah blah. Feels like Aliens 1 or feels like a retreading of this or blah blah blah. And I feel like, you know, you and I, it sounds like we really enjoyed the film. I mean, I know we did. And I wonder, like, when it comes to people who make reviews, I wonder, like, why discount something because it's not what you expected for an older film. I think that's why you think that maybe it was too similar to an older film. I said earlier in the pod, like, I think films need to stand up on their own merit.
Yeah.
And I think in a movie that is based off of a famous IP that gets to use this IP, obviously there's going to be some similarities and some parallels and some callbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, someone said something like, yeah, they took the whole cadence of one scene from another scene from Alien. Like, I mean, I haven't seen it, so I don't know the validity of that. But even if they did, that happens in movies. There's like a direct, like, almost shot-to-shot comparison of two different scenes from Dr. Sleep and The Shining. Sometimes we do that, you know, for just to pay homage or just for the narrative sake, if we're able to go to similar locations or the same locations, you know. And it's like little, almost like little Easter eggs,
yeah,
you know, for yourself. I don't think that should get discounted. I don't think things like that should really.
I mean, Tarantino does that all of his films, all of his original IPs are callbacks to films that he loves.
Yeah. So it's just like stuff like that. I'm just like, I don't know if you enjoyed it, why don't you just say you enjoyed it? It's okay that maybe you like something more than the original or the first one or the second one now. Maybe you liked it more yesterday. Maybe you like it more now. I don't know. I just feel like some people are afraid to like things nowadays.
Yeah.
You get that?
Yeah.
Like, some people, like, I feel like we're so quick to want to crap on something and be like, yeah, this is terrible. It's not like this, or I don't like that. And, like, yeah, all opinions are valid. Your opinions and thoughts are valid, but, like, Can we not just, like, enjoy something that is genuinely good? Because, you know, what happens is if we don't, for one, always vote with your wallets, always let, like, studios know that, you know, you want more of a product by obviously paying for it, right? But also when you're vocal online about it, you know, if you're saying that you don't want XYZ, a lot of times they do listen. And if you're saying that you don't like a movie like Aliens Romulus because it feels more like too much like this or that, and they go and course correct and they change it to something totally different,
and then you hate it.
Then you hate it even more.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like we ended up getting with Star Wars.
Yeah.
I feel like it became a lot of that, a lot of fan outrage, course correcting, and it wasn't the course correcting they thought they wanted. And then it just got more bad because they're like, yeah, ah, this is even worse now. I don't want to see that happen with Alien. No,
I don't either.
I hope it doesn't. I don't think it will.
But, to finish up my final thoughts, I guess, unless you had something.
No, go ahead.
I really love the opening. I love the silent opening.
That was good.
Yeah, it's such a good opening.
I almost thought the sound was broken in the theater. I was like, hold on. Y'all not about to do this to me.
That's funny. That'd be really funny. No, it is great opening. Really love Andy getting to, I love the chase sequence that he has, the first initial chase sequence where he's just start, you know, he's like, I'm going to fix this. And he just starts, you know, robot running.
Yeah.
And then he catches the doors. That was really sweet.
That was good.
So final thoughts, final review. Are we still trying to do the?
Yeah.
Okay. This is one Andy's holding the door, trying to snatch the other guy out of multiple Andy's appearance on screen. I don't know. It's
what? Which one is that?
When Andy catches the doors that were closing.
Yeah.
And he's trying to like get to the kind of the guy who hates androids.
Oh, okay. I was going to say I would rate this film Andy catches the face hugger by its tail.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Because that was badass.
Yes. That's in the like the pretty much when he first gets re-downloaded.
Yeah. Right? When that happened, I was literally I was so locked in. I was like, oh, we've arrived. We the train has met the station. We're freaking here.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
That was sick.
Especially when like his eyes roll into the back and it shows like the company logos. And
yeah. Oh, I love stylistic stuff like that. I'm like, ooh, that's pretty. I like how that looks good. But yeah, guys, go see the film. Go see it.
It's good. It is a really good film.
It's pretty good. And don't listen to the haters. Yeah. They're going to hate. Haters going to hate. We're going to potate it.
What?
Nothing.
Okay.
All right, guys, that's going to be the end of the podcast. We're going to catch you guys next week. So, have a good week. And thank you guys for listening. Check out our Patreon. We got good stuff over there.
Yes.
Great stuff. Extra shit.
Follow us over there. Fun little things.
Fun little community over there. Yeah. We got AI.
We got AI in the development.
No, it's out of RD. It's there.
Oh, okay.
It's ready.
All right. You know more than what I do.
I know. All right, guys. So have a good week. We'll catch you later. Bye.
See you later.